From Dallas, Texas, this is the Paul Now Podcast. I'm your host, Paul, and welcome to the 4th of July episode. So here we are, another holiday and another absolute shit show at the airports. Like, I really don't understand, like, what the situation is. Like, there is no excuse at all for this kind of nonsense. And, you know, if I was a rich man, like, I would be building up a train station in all of these cities and renting out the tracks that already exist in this country and offering way less prices than the airport and Amtrak. I mean, fuck Amtrak too. Like why it costs that much money to ride on a bumpy ass train, I don't know. But and then be like, hey, just get your shit and get on. Like, we're going for a fucking ride here, baby. But because we don't have that, because our government is complete fucking trash, what we have are these airlines that have bought all of these politicians, and so now we're all stuck at the fucking airport. Can't go fucking anywhere. Can't get a fucking hotel room unless I pay for it myself. Can't even get a fucking Uber. Happy birthday, America. Like, this is our spoiled fucking child. But, like, in all seriousness here, people, like, what the fuck? Like, I mean, like, really, what the fuck? Like, why do we accept this kind of abuse from these airlines? I'll tell you what I think, why this won't change. Because come July 5th, everybody hopefully will be home. They will say, you know, they sorted it all out. And we'll go about our merry way as if nothing had ever happened, as this is not like the most traumatic fucking thing to happen. Look at Southwestern. That was literally a couple months ago and nobody can remember a thing about it. It's just completely gone. Everybody has moved on from it. They said, oh, we'll change. Have they? I don't know. I don't fly them. This is what happens when the government sits back idly and does absolutely nothing and lets private companies rule your life. You end up stuck in an airport 4 days. Like, they take your money and tell you, we'll provide a service. And then when you get there, there is no service. And they're like, oh, well, I mean, you're shit out of luck. It's like if you go to a restaurant, you sit down at a table and you order a meal and they tell you, okay, maybe that's a bad example. Here's a good one. You go to a McDonald's or any type of fast food, like a Wendy's, right? And you go up to the register, you order your food and they tell you your food will be right out. So you go sit down, whatever, you wait at the counter, whatever you're, you know, whatever you want to do. And then somebody behind the counter, a worker, comes up and is like, oh, you know what? Actually, we don't have your food and we're not going to get your food. I mean, we might. There is an opportunity for us to get the food, but I don't know when that's going to be. And I know that you're very hungry right now, but I cannot refund your money. And, I mean, you're free to go somewhere else if you want, but, we're not going to give you a voucher for that at all. You would be outraged. Like, you're being ripped off. Like, you see that in a physical, literal sense. Like, what these airlines are doing is the same exact thing. And here's something that I noticed maybe like a week or two ago is, hanging out in my backyard, right? And I'm like literally above a fly zone or whatever you call it, like where the planes are coming into DFW. Like, I am like directly above a route for them to come in. So I hear and see all of the planes when I'm outside. And, you know, for years, it's just been like the normal planes. like little planes, like big planes. But the last couple of weeks, and maybe longer, I don't know. I just started, you know, going back outside. It's summer and everything. These are like jumbo jets now that are flying in. And not that they hadn't flown those in the past, but it was like so few and far in between that it was like, where would that big ass plane be coming from? Where would all those people be coming from? But now it's like every other plane is one of these jumbo jets. And, you know, like, I don't really think anything of it. And then I am, you know, seeing the mess that we're in now with air travel. And could this have something to do with it? Like, I know they're blaming weather at the hubs, which is another consolidation of these airlines, which the government completely sat around and did absolutely nothing about. And now we are all forced to lay over somewhere at their hub for whatever the fuck reason that is. But like, I'm wondering, like, if these jumbo jets have anything to do with the backup that we're seeing right now. Because I don't see any weather. Like, I see smoke, but not enough that it would cause this type of damage. Like, I was on TikTok earlier, and there's people, like, stuck in Florida. Like, what the fuck is happening in Florida besides, you know, the government destroying the people and Disney World? I don't see anything else happening. It's just another, you know, American holiday destroyed by capitalism. Like, I don't know what else to say. And, you know, I guess I'll just say one more thing about this. Like, if it is because of the weather, because of, like, the smoke that's coming down from Canada, and that is fucking up everything, like, on, like, the northeast region of these airports, like, maybe consolidating all of these airports into these major hubs probably wasn't a good idea, because now look at what is going on. Like, you know, we have an ever-changing world due to the world warming and weather becoming more and more severe every year, literally every year. Like, Texas is the hottest it's ever been for the last 8 years in a row. I've been in Texas for 8 years. So, you know, when people joke about, oh, it's so hot in Texas, yeah, for me it is, because this is literally all I know of Texas. But I also know that 8 years is not a fluke. Like, living here for 8 years is not a fluke. Like, you don't do something for 8 years and it be like, oops, or it was a casual thing. 8 years is a long time. It is a pattern. So, like, I don't know, I guess, like, just buckle up and you know, expect the worst always, because, I mean, what else? What else would you expect? Anyway, we are experiencing, like, some of the fucking hottest temperatures ever here in Texas, especially at this time of the year. Like, this is, you know, the type of weather that we would expect in, you know, July. Late July, August. But here it is, you know, June. The last several weeks of June have been dire. And, you know, the thing about it is this is a state known for excessive heat. So it's nothing is new about any of this except the timing of it. It's very early for this extreme weather, right? And, you know, you could say whatever you want. Like, it'll pass. Like, next week, like, they are talking about more average temperatures for around this time of the year, like 90s. But the thing is, like, the last, like, 3 weeks, we've been in this excessive heat, and that excessive heat has evaporated a lot of water, and water that would not generally be evaporated at this time of the year, right? And then we're going to come into the end of July, August, and the weather is going to be very excessive. And that's when we'll hear about water conservation and, you know, drought, because that's when it usually happens. But the thing is, it happens so early, and, you know, 3 weeks, like, that's generally what happens at the end of July and August. Like, those, there's 3-4 weeks in there where we have this excessive heat. Nothing like this. It's never been this hot. Like, usually, like, 103, 105, maybe 109 at a very peak. But, like, we have had way hotter days these past couple weeks, several weeks. And so it evaporated all this water. What's going to happen is it's not going to rain now from here until, you know, the fall. So all of that water that was evaporated already is only going to be 1,000 times worse when we do get into the seasonal excessive heat. Like, I mean, we did get a lot of rain early on, but then this right here that we have just experienced completely cancels that all out. So what is going to happen in July and August? Like, where are we going to get the water from? And why weren't we told to conserve water now to make up for what's to come? Like, that's probably, like, my biggest gripe with this state, is that there's no proactive measures for anything, Like, it's just live your fucking life. And then once there's a problem, then it's like, okay, you know what? Y'all have to starve. Like, you can have shrimp tonight, you can have steak, lobster, everything you want, because it's payday. But a week from now, you will have nothing and you will starve. So enjoy it while you can. There's so much uncertainty in that. And, you know, that comes from the highest level of the state. So some pretty sad news here. Madge, or Madonna to some folks, is not doing well. She was hospitalized. She apparently has some type of a bacterial infection, which is like a bloodborne thing. And to my knowledge, at this point, I don't know where it came from because I haven't seen anything about it yet. But apparently it was pretty serious. And I mean, she was hospitalized over it. And the thing is, like, she's not that old, you know, but she has had a lot of plastic surgery. And I'm not saying that that has anything to do with it, but I do know that injecting Botox into your face or into anywhere, like, what happens is it goes into your body. Does it go into your blood? No, it's not supposed to. It's supposed to go through the lymph nodes and, you know, over time, like, disintegrate, and you, like, piss it out. Could that have something to do with it? I don't know. I mean, she's been obsessed with youth and beauty her entire life, and for most of her life, she has been youth and beauty. And, you know, not it's just like these last, like, 10 years where she just kind of went off the deep end with trying to stay young. And it's very sad that she felt like she had to be that way. But I also think that she is smart enough to understand, like, the industry wants only youth and beauty. But I thought you know, going back 10 years, like when she first started to, you know, get a little filler here and a little Botox there, that she didn't need it because, you know, she has changed the entire nation. Like she has been such a force on our societal norms. She challenged everything that was holding this country back. Religion, sexualization, Christianity, like all of that kind of like horrible stuff that kept this country so dark for so long and so controlled by forces out of, you know, the every man reach. And she told those people, you could be, and me, like I was one of those people, that you could be whatever you want, do whatever you want, like live your life. And I just think, like, if she had just allowed herself to like age with grace, like just a little filler here and a little filler there, like have a little laugh line, have a little eye crow, like, girl, you deserve it. Like, if anybody deserves it, it's you. But I mean, she got lip fillers. Like, I don't know if you've seen her lips like in the 80s and the 90s, like her real lips, they were fucking gorgeous. They were full and plump. And, you know, I think any straight man would loved to have had their dick sucked by those lips. But I think she was like obsessed with staying young, and you know, we all are to a point, you know, like when it becomes dangerous, it's time to like, you know, fold in the towel or whatever that expression is. And like, I don't know, like if years of getting fillers and Botox like stretches the skin out, and then if you stop, like your skin just completely sags because of it, or your skin just sags because you're old, and that's just what skin does. Like it starts to sag, you know? And I think she was just like too afraid to ever allow that to be seen. But I saw something about she was having issues ever since she had fallen off of that stage. When she had that black cape on, it was the red background. Once she fell off that stage, everything was kind of like, it's kind of been, I'm not going to say downhill, but things have been tricky, I guess, for her since then. And, you know, that's been several years now. And I had also heard that she was not going to go out like Cher or Whitney. She was going to continue to be, you know, the amazing person that she had always been. And I know she has a lot of judges out there. People think that, you know, she was not, you know, cutting. She wasn't groundbreaking. She was just rubbing people the wrong way. And I disagree with that 100%. Like, I think she really did push the envelope for so many different communities in this country of ours. You know, she was like one of the first people to have Latino dancers with her. And she was one of the first, you know, A-list people to really talk about AIDS, like on a national stage, like on MTV, which if, you know, you're too young to understand what that means, like that was, you know, like the TikTok of that generation, my generation. She talked about condoms and blowjobs. And the thing is, like, you know, in the 90s, like it was still a very touchy subject, whether, you know, sex education should be taught or not, or should you just wing it? She pushed the boundaries of you know, where society was. Like, we were kind of like a stagnant bunch. And I'm not saying it's all her, because I think that there were a lot of forces pushing our society to change in this country. But she was definitely in the front row, pushing for change. And whether that was like a selfish thing or she really did want a cultural change, you know, who knows? Like we'll have to wait for, you know, the biography. But it worked. Like, who we are as a nation now is I think, owed so much to her, because she really did just put it all out there. Like, she just said whatever she said. And the things that she said were the things that people at the time were thinking. Like, that's what the youth wanted to know. They wanted to hear that, because that is what their mind was saying. And there was nobody around them. Like, who? Boomer parents? Like, they were not going to say a word about any of this kind of stuff. Like, to them, like, this was, like, derogatory. Like, this was, like, obscene. Like, they, you know, wanted to, like, ban her from things. And so, anyway, like, I disagree with the fact that she held on so hard to, like, her looks, which I get. I mean, she was a fucking bombshell, you know? But, like, we all age, right? And with age comes wisdom. And I know she has a lot of wisdom. She has lived, you know, an incredible life. And I just wish that she had allowed her face to show all of that, you know? I think about Jessica Lange. Like, she's older. She is, you know, experienced. She's been around for a very long time. People probably know her from American Horror, but she's done a billion things before that. She has been part of Hollywood for, you know, the last decade or three or four. Maybe even five. I'm really not sure. But she has let herself age very gracefully. She's not gentle with herself. She's not gentle with her body. Like, she does the things that she wants to do, whatever those things are, whether they're good or bad. She just does what she does. But she has a mentality to her that just you're born with. Like, you're born with that. And I know Madonna was born with that. Like, she, from the very beginning, I mean, there were little girls dressing up like her in the 80s, and she was pulling this stuff out of garbage cans. So the thing is about all of this, what I'm trying to get to here with this, because this was not supposed to be a tribute, but it's turning into one, is that I want her to fully recover. I don't care if she goes on tour again. I don't think she really needs to. She has been, you know, an icon for, you know, millions of fucking people. And I think that they will always, myself included, appreciate her contribution to our culture. But I do want to say just one thing, and it's going to be kind of controversial. Like, with this, you know, whole health scare, and this is a big thing, like, you know, like, when you have something in your blood, like, that's, like, super dangerous. Like, nothing is supposed to, like, get into your bloodstream. Like, it's, you know, the purest thing about you. It's not a liver or a kidney, you know what I mean? It's there's no way of filtering bacteria out. It can fight off a virus. Yeah, sure. But they're two different things. You know what I mean? One wears a coat, one wears shorts. They're just totally different. Like, I don't want Madonna to die before Cher, because, one, it's Madonna, and as much as I love Cher, and I do love Cher, I respect her for who she is and what she did contribute. Like, I am, you know, an 80s baby, and Madonna is like the mother of me, of gay me, you know. And so, you know, here's another like flashback. Like VH1, which I don't even know if it still exists, it used to have this program called We Are the 90s or We Are the 80s or something like that. Or no, oh, no, it was Pop-Up Video. Pop-Up Video, that was it. And somebody somewhere had said something about Cher. And they were playing Cher's If I Could Turn Back Time video. And what they did in this is they would have these little pop-up captions about little tidbits about, you know, the artist or the location or, you know, just a little background stuff. It was fun. It was interesting. But something had came up, like one of the little pop-ups, and it said that somebody along the lines had said that, like, when there is nuclear destruction of the planet, there will be two things surviving, and it will be cockroaches and Cher. Cher will always be the more respectable person, you know, because my parents' generation, they grew up with her, and they saw her as a married woman. They saw her getting divorced to Sonny Bono, and, you know, the tears and all of that kind of stuff. And it was very sincere. And that's what that generation liked. But I think my generation was kind of over all of that. We were not like a Leave It to Beaver type generation. Like, we were more of a Prince, Madonna, like Michael Jackson, like, just, you know, fucking do it, do your thing type of a generation. And I will mourn for Cher, absolutely. But not if I mourn for Madonna first. Like, I need to mourn Cher's death. And then, many, many years later, like many years later, like, I will then mourn for Madonna. Because, I mean, for many reasons, but a selfish one is because I'm much closer in age to Madonna than Cher. You know, I think me and Madonna have maybe like a 12-year difference. So, and Cher, I'm not even sure, like, how old she is. Like, she's got to be, I don't know, 60s, 70s? I mean, she's got to be out there. Unless, like, she was, like, on that Sonny and Bono show when she was 16 or something. I mean, it's whatever. I'll never disrespect any of the divas that have come and shown us gays, like, what it means to live unapologetically. But, I mean, my heart does belong to Madonna, you know? Like, she came out in, like, 82, 83, 84, or whatever. Like, you know, I was, like, 7 years old dancing to, like, a Virgin tape. A tape. So, and my cousin Shannon calling me gay because of the way I was dancing at 7. So, I mean, it is what it is, I guess. Anyway, that's all I've got. So, until next time, bye!